We have a. It's my pleasure to bring the word today to you again. Pastor Tim and I, we had a great conversation yesterday, and he's praying for us. He's just excited to come back already this week. He did have a time of rest. I asked him, "Did you rest?" And he's like, "Yes, we have been resting." So I'm glad that's been happening. So thank you for praying for our pastor. But we have been on the last several weeks. We've been on this series called The Holy Spirit, and last week we saw how the gifts of the spirits are never to be used for our own benefit, but for the benefit of others in love. How many can say amen? So today we get to talk about a subject that is not as popular, but definitely very important, I believe. And we're going to be talking about grieving the Holy Spirit and how not to be grieving Him in the future. So anyway, have you ever had a time when your kids didn't believe you when you had something to say? How many of you have been there? You know, amen. So you guys are probably elbowing your kids if you have them next to you. So, you know, so they end up doing it their own way. They say, "I know how to do this, Mom," or "Let me try it," or "Let me do it, Dad," only to find out, you know, later to find out that they had to learn the lesson the hard way. Whatever you're trying to tell them, you know, they didn't listen to you. How did that make you feel? Just think about it for a moment. How did that make you feel? Did it make you feel angry, frustrated? Did it make you feel sad? Moms, I know that's one of the things that happens all the time when you're like, "Hey, if you would have only listened, you would have," you know, your heart becomes contrite, right? You probably wish you could open up their brains at that moment and just say, "Hey, let me do some operation here because you need some help, son or daughter," right? But sometimes it just doesn't happen that way. Or how about our mothers? Did they ever tell you, "You'll see when you have your own kids"? Yeah? Amen. Now that we have our own kids, what do we say? Like, "Man, if I would have only listened to my mother," right? That's exactly what happens, you know, when we are having a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Daily, when faced with decisions, you should be asking yourself, "Am I about to believe the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit?" Again, I'm going to go ahead and repeat that one more time. Well, daily, when we face decisions, you should be asking yourself, am I about to believe the Holy Spirit or grieve the Holy Spirit? Ephesians, amen. Ephesians 4:30 through 32nd says the following. "And do not bring sorrow," in other words, do not grieve "to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, He has identified you as His own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption." Other translation says, "You've been sealed with the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption." It says, "Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God through Christ has forgiven you." Amen? Amen. The word grieving, In the Greek word, you know, it's actually lupe. I think I'm saying it right, those Greek scholars out there. Anyway, the word grieving means to pain, to hurt, to cause sorrow. The way Paul was using it in this particular phrase, it was referring to a person who has been unfaithful to another. And I don't know how many of you guys could identify with that pain, but sometimes when we've felt that pain or been felt betrayed by someone, you can know what that feels. The pain is also, the way he uses it, is also associated with the pain of someone being violated. Imagine that. So what is interestingly enough is that many of the things that grieve the Holy Spirit are telling us right before the scripture, and it's found in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23-29, and it says this way. It says, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes." Can I get an amen, somebody? You know? "Let us renew our thoughts, your thoughts, let it renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all parts of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to who?
The devil.
To the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work, and then give." Amen. There's no amens there, but hey, you know what? Give generously to others in need, right? Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Again, I have a choice to believe the Holy Spirit or to grieve the Holy Spirit. What are we going to do? Paul reminds us that we are to renew or believe our, you know, in other words, our thoughts and attitudes. We are supposed to renew our thoughts and attitudes. Some of the wives are going, right? That's what I'm talking about. It is important to know that the Holy Spirit is a person, and that that person wants to have a relationship with us. He is deeply and madly in love with us. So much that he is a seal of God's approval for us on the day we get to heaven. That is what happened to me. I was thinking about this when I heard, I'm like, you're the seal. You are the one that God has chosen. The Holy Spirit is the one that God chose so that we, when we get to heaven, it's our pass to get inside. It's like when I was going through LAX a couple of weeks ago. Let me tell you that it was nerve-wracking. As much as it is, you know, you never know what they're going to tell you, you know? Well, especially me, maybe because I'm Mexican. But anyway, the thing is, I was going through that. I have my American passport, you know, and I was going through there. And then, you know, they scan it. And I'm like waiting there. I'm just anxious. Like, what are they going to say? What's popping up on that computer? Tell me. Talk to me, somebody. You know? Yet it was awesome because the Holy Spirit reminded me of this. And he said, that seal of the United States is what got you into this country. And without it, you wouldn't have been able to come in. And let me tell you that that's exactly what the Holy Spirit was telling me. That is who the Spirit is to us. That he is the seal. That when Jesus sees you before, you know, all the angels and everybody that is lined up there in heaven, he's going to be the one that says, hey, approved or not approved. So imagine that. He's going to be next to you saying, you know what? Hey, welcome. Because you are sealed with my Spirit. So imagine if that is the person that God has chosen for us to enter into heaven, how much more is important that we would have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, that we would begin to speak to him. The translation that others use, it says, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. That's awesome. I'm glad to know that I'm sealed by his Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the person who is transforming us, guiding us to all truth, and shaping us into the person of Jesus Christ. That is why it's important that we do not mistake the Holy Spirit for something or some force or something that is just there as part of the Trinity. No, he is a person that wants and longs to have a conversation with you every morning, every afternoon, every evening. You know, one time there was at my house, I don't know if it happens at your house, but there was people walking around and I was like, oh my goodness, they rang the doorbell. I was in my shorts and my pantuflas, that's another word for sandals. And I was just walking around and all of a sudden I hear the doorbell ring and I'm with my hair all messed up and I open the door and here's like, hey, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, what's going on? And then they had a briefcase and whatnot and they started sharing with me about Jehovah. And I said, okay, awesome. So I had two things. You know, some people are like, oh, there's some people with a briefcase that outside the door. And I'm like, and I had for a quick moment had to have used my discernment in the Spirit. I said, I wonder who it is, you know. And then all of a sudden I started realizing, oh, it's probably the Jehovah Witness. And I opened the door and I was kind of, I don't know if it happens to you, but sometimes you're tempted not to open the door. Anyway, but the thing for me, I was like, no, I have to open the door, you know. So I end up opening the door, and here we start a conversation. And then they start talking to me about the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you, the Holy Spirit is something that's very important to me. So, I mean, he is my best friend. And so when we started talking, he starts telling me that he is a force. You know, he started reading to me in his Bible that it says the active force of God. And I started thinking like, wait. No. Wait. I was like, he is not a force. And I started sharing with them my personal experience. I said, when the Holy Spirit came to me, he changed my life. I was broken. And he redeemed me from all the things, you know, all the things that I've done wrong. And then I started taking them to this passage. I said, tell me, how can a force, if this is what you're saying, that the Holy Spirit is, that it's a force, how could I have feelings? How could I have emotion if it's telling me not to grieve the Holy Spirit? I said, I need you to help me understand that. Because if it's not a person, if it's just a force, then help me understand, how does a force have feelings if it's just something that happens? All of a sudden that I don't need to have a relationship with. And the person was kind of perplexed, and she's like, well, you know what? I'll come back next week with my elder. You know what I mean? I was just trying to understand. Amen? Amen. That's all it took. And I was really excited to see them next week, but you know what? It's been almost 6 years, and I haven't seen them, you know. So, hey. All I'm saying is, let us not mistake the Holy Spirit for a force or a thing, because it's much more than that. He is a person like you and me. He is just someone that wants to have a relationship with us. When we mistake the person of the Holy Spirit for something, then it's easy for me to go about living my own way and not change a thing. I can just go about doing what I want and not feel anything, not feel guilty, feel convicted about the things that I'm doing wrong. Because that's what the Holy Spirit will tell you. He'll tell you what you're doing is wrong. Amen? How many have been there? Hey, you got to go and ask for forgiveness. You got to go and say hello to that person. You got to go and embrace your dad, your mom, you know, or tell sorry to your kids. And say sorry to your kids. Hey, let me tell you, that's the Holy Spirit telling us and pounding at our hearts that we are to change. When we don't want to, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and tells us, you got to start. But I am not the one who did it. And then that's when he starts reminding you, he who humbles himself before the hand of God will be exalted in due time. And you're like, oh. And you're with a long face going, okay. And then, I'm sorry. You know, kind of like with your kids, you know. Can you go say sorry to that person? Like, no, mom, no, dad. You know what I mean? And you're like, oh, I don't want to. But when they do it, you see the benefit. Afterwards, they start playing again with one another. That's what the Holy Spirit will do. You know, Pastor Tim, in his message to, in the message part two, actually, where he says, in keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, he says, when we place ourselves into that role of prideful ruler, we put ourselves into a very dangerous place, because there is that pride that comes. And whenever we are filled with pride, we push everything else out, even those things that the Holy Spirit is working to reveal to us about how Jesus wants to work in our lives. That's what he said. And I was like, it's so true. When we have pride in our hearts, we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. We don't want to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, because we know the Holy Spirit will begin knocking at our door. So again, we have a choice to either believe the Holy Spirit or to grieve him. What are we going to do? Let us renew our thoughts and attitudes. That's what it says. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 to 29, it tells us again, so it says, so stop telling lies. It reminds us, let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you are a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work. And then give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So what grieves the Holy Spirit? Pride grieves the Holy Spirit. When we think we know. You know, pride wants to elevate itself above God. And it's very dangerous. And it could sometimes lead us to a place where it may even harden our hearts and become unsensitized to the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, it was so important that Jesus emphasized this point when he was talking about the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And when he was talking to the Pharisees, that they attributed the works of the Holy Spirit to Satan. And in Matthew chapter 12, verse 31 through 32, it says, so I tell you, every sin and blasphemy can be forgiven, even except blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, which will never be forgiven. Anyone who speaks against the Son of Man can be forgiven, but anyone who speaks against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven, either in this world or in the world to come. Amen. He is so important. He is the most important to Jesus. To say, you know what? It's important that you don't do these things. According to Jack Hayford, I was reading some notes on you know, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and he says the heart of the matter was human resistance against God's work. Resistance to the point that hardened hearts insisting on their own righteousness as opposed to God's working. When we feel so self-righteous, when we elevate ourselves above and saying, hey, I'm all holy. I got it all together. Be careful, church. Be careful, because that's when pride is elevating itself above God. And what happened to Satan when that happened? You know, he was struck down. So let us be careful. And so for some of you guys that are here then wondering, like, did I already blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, or have I done that, or you're a little concerned, or you're just wondering if that is you, if you're concerned at all, let me tell you, you haven't done that. Amen? You haven't. Because the fact that you have that in your heart is a sign that the Holy Spirit is just telling you that's not right. So for those that are wondering, is it me, Lord? You know, did I do that already? No. You know, it reminds us that pride is important, is so important to avoid and to let go. That's why it tells us to stop lying. And it tells us to stop lying because pride is like the precursor to all the other things, I believe. You know, and then it says anger. Don't let anger control you. How many spouses say amen? All right. Well, amen. All right. This spouse says amen. So anyway, the thing. Why are you guys laughing? I mean, jeez. Don't let anger control you. Well, let me tell you that anger wants to get a foothold of you so that the enemy gets a foothold of you. So that's important that we don't let anger control us. It says, be angry, but don't sin about it. So when anger controls us, there's a lot of things that happen. We are, again, I believe, when we're not letting go of certain things, it's because we have pride. When we choose not to forgive. If your spouse is telling you, let's talk about it, and you don't want to talk about it. You may not want to talk about it at the moment, but always need to come back and talk about it. It says, don't let the sun, amen, come up. Go down, I'm sorry. So, on your anger. And let me tell you, that's something that's important. Some people mistake that sometimes. They're like, what am I supposed to do? We were supposed to always talk about certain situations. But let me tell you, we are supposed to always forgive. We're supposed to forgive because that's what he has done for us. We're supposed to be kind. And we'll look at those things in just a minute. But it reminds us to stop stealing and to not use abusive and hurtful words. I think about it sometimes and I say, how many times have I not used abusive or hurtful words? Whether it's your kids or your spouse or someone that you love or somebody that's in ministry. And we use these words as if you had the right to use them, because that's the way we feel sometimes. But the Holy Spirit wants to touch on those things because he's saying, don't use that stuff. That's not the way I act. That's not the way I am. That's not my personality. Matthew Henry, in one of his commentaries regarding the grieving the Holy Spirit, says, we must not do that which is contrary to his holy nature and his will. So if you're wondering how not to grieve the Holy Spirit, this is important. If it's against his holy nature and his will, then don't do it. Because it grieves the Holy Spirit. Here, we see the Holy Spirit through the Apostle Paul telling us that his desire is to transform us. One way that I believe the Holy Spirit often lets us know that something has grieved his heart is when we don't hear him. And he already told us what to do and to do that. And haven't been obedient to his will. He will let us know, just as our wife often tell us, amen, and let us know that they let us know when they have been hurt by something we did or something we said. It's called the silent treatment. How many been there? Is it okay for me to say that the Holy Spirit sometimes gives us the silent treatment? Amen. Yeah, sometimes I believe so. Not the silent treatment out of spite. Amen? Wives, please, let's get this straight. You know? Para que se le quite. You know, so that way he can go ahead and, you know, be That's the expression that we use. So that way, like that way, that's what he gets. You know what I mean? No, not out of spite. We use it. You know, Jesus uses it through his Holy Spirit out of love. Love that brings us to repentance, where we get to analyze ourselves and our thoughts and our attitudes. What have we done? How come I haven't heard you, Lord? How come I don't hear your voice? And the Holy Spirit, in the quietness, in the stillness of our room or our car, or wherever we may be, and the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal those things and say, it's because of this, 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 and this. And that's important for us to pay attention, because that's where we have a choice to either believe the Holy Spirit, what he's telling us, or to grieve him by not doing anything to change those things. King David cried out in Psalm chapter 51, verse 9 through 11, says, don't keep looking at my sins. It says, remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence. Listen to this man. It says, don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me, Lord. This is a man that wrote this particular chapter after his sin was uncovered. You know, his attitudes, his thoughts were uncovered. He had been unfaithful to the Lord and to the people. And he had actually gone out and murdered somebody for this woman. And his sin was uncovered. Yet, when all those things were around him and all the things were happening, all the chaos, he knew who to run to. And he said, God, it's your Holy Spirit that keeps me together. It's you that keeps me together. It's not anything else. If it wasn't for your Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be here. This is a man who was saying, God, I know I've done things for you, but it doesn't mean that because I've done these things, God, that is what you want me to do. Sometimes that's what happens to us. We get caught up in doing things for God, in the name of God, and that's not what God wants you to do. For example, if God is wanting you to pray more or worship more, and you're doing all these things that have an appearance of God and it's keeping you away from him and a relationship with him, then we are not being obedient to his will, to the will of the Holy Spirit. Because the most important thing that we need to do is have communion with him. I don't know if you heard me. I said the most important thing that we are to do is to have communion with him, with his spirit. That's the most important thing that we are to do. I know it is important for us to do this often. We do these things often. We get caught up in these things often. But just like the story of Martha, the story of Martha is that she wanted to do all these things for God. She knew that Jesus was coming to her house, and she wanted to make it nice and clean. She wanted to go ahead and serve Jesus the best way she knew how. But this is what Jesus told her in Luke 10, chapter 10, verse 40. It says, but Martha was distracted by the big dinner she was preparing. She came to Jesus and said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me. Sometimes that's how we feel in life. We feel that things are just unfair, that we need help. But then it goes on to say, the next verse, it says, hey, why are you all worried about all the things you need to do? Your sister has chosen the best part. And that the sister, Maria, she had just been at his feet listening to him. Listening to his voice. Sometimes let me just go out and say this. When we feel that things are unfair, it's time to get to Jesus' feet. Amen. When things feel unfair in your life, when people seem like they're not helping you, let me tell you, it's time to run to Jesus' feet, to hear his voice, to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. When we turn away from him and refuse to serve him and worship him and love him, we are, in essence, betraying the Lord. We're saying no to what he created us to do, which is worship him. That's the most important thing that we are to do. When we do these things, we are hurting him, and as if we were being unfaithful to him. He wants the best for us. He wants us to be as in love with him as he is for us, as he is, you know, in our lives. He's so madly in love with us. It's almost like not loving that person that gave it all for you back. Just give love back to Jesus. I mean, it's like that. It's like you feel somebody's like loving you. I don't know if it ever happened to you, but you always rejected that person. But this is the creator of the universe. This is the one that, this is the person that brought life when there was death to Jesus. Amen? It's by his spirit. He brought us. He resurrected Jesus Christ. And that's the power that lives in us through faith in Jesus. How many can say amen? So if that's this, if that is what we are supposed to do, why are we not doing it sometimes? The problem is that when we are flirting with sin, we tend to forget about him. When we flirt with sin, we begin to do other things. Start valuing other people more than the relationship we have with him. It suddenly replaces God, and we begin looking out for our own interests rather than his own interests. Some ways to keep us from grieving the Holy Spirit is humbling ourselves before his mighty hand. So how we are not to grieve the Holy Spirit is just humbling ourselves before God. Just say, God, forgive me. I want to always have you in my heart. I want to believe you for everything. And, you know, when we tell the truth in love, you know, when we are speaking truthfully, it's important that we speak the truth, that we are always speaking truth to the people that are around us. How many can say amen? Amen. That's important. Sometimes we end up saying one thing for another. We say, just because we don't want to say no, we end up using excuses or reasons, another better word, you know, instead of excuses. But we sometimes use reasons why not to do certain things. It's important to just speak, say yes or no. Or I wish I could do this, but this is something that came up. You know, when we choose to give is another way that we don't grieve the Holy Spirit, when we are always constantly giving and giving generously. You know, when it says quit stealing, it says, and do with your hands hard work. Do something productive, in other words. And then give out of what you did, out of what you've done. Give it, and give it generously to others. That amazes me. That is his nature, isn't it? That is who he is. It's not who we are, because we tend to always say, like, well, I don't have enough. Or I would rather use it in other areas. Yet God is always looking out for others. And it's important for us to be the same way. When we encourage one another and those around us with edifying words and those that build one another, that is important. You know, there's a brother that came to me before the service this morning, and he says, you know, Pastor Joe, I just want to, you know, he didn't say encourage, but he encouraged me so much. He was saying, you know what, I've seen how God has used you. And I'm telling you, sometimes, you know, you're going about doing one thing and another. You're always busy, and you don't see what God sometimes is doing in your life. But the fact that that person came to me and said, I've just seen how God's used you and has, grown you and matured you. And I'm like, man, that's awesome. But to him be all the glory, because let me tell you, sometimes you don't see that. But when you're doing what God has called you to do, listen, when you're doing what God has called you to do, it's always about encouraging others. And I want to even encourage us as a congregation to encourage pastor. Sometimes as pastors, you're always encouraging others. And sometimes we forget that they need encouragement. And I say they, but in reality, we need encouragement. You know what I'm saying? That's what we are to do, encourage one another. But we sometimes feel like, hey, pastors don't need encouragement. I mean, they're like second to the Trinity. You know what I mean? Almost like, they're up there, man. No, let me tell you, we need encouraging too. Amen? And I just say that because I believe sometimes, as you know, you just sometimes feel like, God, what are you doing in my life? What's the next step? Always looking out, what does the congregation need? So it's important for us to not grieve the Holy Spirit, but one of the ways we don't do that is encouraging constantly to one another. Find somebody to encourage this week. Somebody that's probably next to you, in front of you, someone that you've never met. Encourage them and say, you know what? You're an awesome kid. You know, encourage your kids. Start at home. You know, if you haven't done that. Encourage your spouse. You know, husband, thank you. You know, love, honey, bunny, whatever you call them. You know, just tell them. You know, you're the best. Thank you for being a great provider to our family. You know, you're awesome. Your kids should be proud of you. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Come on, husbands. This is where you say, amen, pastor. You know what I mean? Something. Amen. There you go. So, and then do the same for your wife. You know, I love it when you cook, even if you burn the tortillas. I don't know, whatever it is, you know. Encourage one another. It's a little crunchy this time, but hey, it's all good. We could use it for the salsa. I don't know. Amen? Encourage one another. Find creative ways. Don't, you know, something to tell somebody and say, you know what? You're deeply appreciated. And when you, hey, I do that for my wife. My wife is right here. Yes. You know, thank God my took us almost 8 years. I'm kidding. You know, yeah. No, my wife is a great cook. She's a great wife as well. Thank you, babe, for doing what you do for our kids. Amen. So it is important that we do this. And that's the way that we keep ourselves from grieving the Holy Spirit, when we do it constantly, because that's who he is. And he is transforming us again to be like the person of Jesus Christ. He is renewing us. He wants us to be like Jesus. And so he's constantly going to tell us what we are supposed to do. And then lastly, it's just blaspheme against the Holy Spirit. That's the way, one thing that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit is by not doing it, by not feeling like we're above or we're self-righteous. We actually always say, thank you, Jesus, for your righteousness through Jesus Christ. Thank you through you, Lord. Thank you for that, because it's by you that I am righteous, not by my own means, but it's because of you. And when we do that, that is the one way that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit. So let me end with this. Can you identify something that is replacing God in your life? Something that is grieving the Holy Spirit right now in your life. Can you identify those things? Maybe it's something that I had mentioned just previously. Make the decision to love him today. Give those things that have replaced God in your heart over to him today and embrace God. Begin embracing God and what he wants to do in your life. Maybe it looks like forgiving someone. Maybe it looks like going out and working. Stop stealing or lying or whatever it may be, or just having that pride in your heart. Maybe it's been things in your life. I believe the Holy Spirit will begin to reveal those things as we're speaking right now to your life. Maybe you haven't spoken to somebody that you know you need to in a very long time. Whatever it may be, I believe the Holy Spirit wants you to embrace the change in your life and say, God, I know I'm supposed to change this area of my life because you want me to be more like Jesus. Have you thought of the Holy Spirit lately as a person? If you haven't, or you've never heard that the Holy Spirit is a person, I encourage you to go home today. And while you're driving your car, or on the way to work tomorrow, or maybe this afternoon, ask him to reveal himself to you. Talk to him today. And tell him, Holy Spirit, I want to know you. Holy Spirit, I want you to reveal yourself to me. Tell him you don't want to grieve his heart any longer. And you say, Lord, I can't wait to start and begin my personal relationship with you. And start talking to him. And wait just for a second. Wait for a second and let him begin to speak to your heart and to your soul. You may cry, just so that way to give you a heads up. You may begin to cry because it's the Holy Spirit dealing with your heart. You may not understand it. Don't try to make sense of it. Just say, Holy Spirit, I know it's you. It may also probably cause you joy. And you're like, why am I so joyous all of a sudden? Maybe that's what your heart needed. Or you might begin to feel his presence in a way that you have never felt before. Maybe you start feeling tingles in your arms and your soul. And you say, God, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know how this feels. But Lord, I know it's you because I asked you to reveal yourself to me. When we do these things, he will begin to stir something up in our lives that will change our lives forever. See, the Holy Spirit is not a thing. It's not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person. He does not want us to grieve him. So when I'm faced with decisions in life, I have a decision to make, whether to believe him or to grieve him. What will we choose today as we leave? Will we choose to believe that he wants to change me and transform me into the image of his son, Jesus Christ? Or will I just ignore him and reject him and choose to go about doing my own thing, my own way, only to learn later on in life that I should have just listened all along to the voice of the Holy Spirit? What will it be? Whatever it is, let him reveal that to you.